We'll follow Intersection Live. I'm at the CCH User Conference in Dallas, Texas, at the Gaylord Texan. I guess specifically, it's in Grapevine. And if you read my blog, you'll see that I just twittered a little bit ago that I believe that CCH has just hit a three-peat in launching the classiest user conference in the profession. I've done a great job the last couple of years, and this year looks to be every bit as nice, if not nicer. The CEO of Wolters Kluwer, Nancy McKinstry, was kind enough to come and spend a few minutes, and Kevin Robert, her sidekick, whom you all know, is here. Nancy, thank you very much for coming to spend some time with me today.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. Nancy, you're a worldwide company now, and you get to see lots of things all over the world. I mean, you've got your Asia Pacific unit, you've got your Canadian unit, and different units in the U.S. and all over. When you look at the profession internationally, and then you look at the profession here in the U.S., how do we stack up against our professional counterparts in the rest of the world? We have similar problems, different problems. What do you see?
Well, first I would say that the U.S. is, as a profession, is far more technologically advanced. So if you measure, you know, the use of our software products and some of our more advanced kinds of products like document and engagement, the adoption rate is very high in the U.S., where it's quite varied in continental Europe and even in Asia and in Australia. You see that the technology applications are not yet really cutting edge. They're probably a generation behind in many cases. So that's the first observation I would make. The second observation is that I think in terms of the challenges facing the profession, there is a convergence that's going on, particularly between Europe and the United States. And I think that convergence is around that while there isn't one common standard with IFRS and with, you know, the move towards more transparency in terms of financial statements and other kinds of things, that you see accountants having to deal with similar issues across the world. The other thing that's clearly very common is that productivity and finding, people that can enter the profession, that is a very common thing, where everybody's focused on productivity and everyone's having trouble finding staff.
So the baby boomer issue exists certainly in
Western Europe,
right,
and
Western
also
Europe.
In Australia.
I was at a company in Australia, Sims Partners, and they're talking about the same thing, shortage of staff, personnel. One of the things that's happening over there is China is draining a lot of the resources that are in that Asia Pacific region. The demand in China is just so great now that that's actually drawing a lot of resources away. And so you put that on top of the baby boomer issues, and then, you know, that just creates an even a bigger. So we're seeing our business actually in Australia starting to ramp up a good bit. Interesting, I guess it was about a couple of weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago, USA Today had that article talking about Kathleen Casey Kirschling, which is kind of a name nobody would recognize, but she is considered to be the first baby boomer. And she has filed for her Social Security benefits in anticipation of her birthday, January 1st, 2008. So that clock is ticking.
Right. Believe me, I feel that. I feel that clock ticking, and it's ticking a lot faster here these days. I don't know whether it's... at first, Nancy, when you said that we in the U.S. were ahead technologically, that's the first time I've ever heard the words ahead and technologically in the same paragraph talking about our profession, because we're certainly not ahead technologically compared to any other profession or any other group. You know, we've been known to be kind of laggards. Mm-hmm. So
definitely faster than the attorneys.
Well, that may be true, but lots of similarities there.
Yeah.
Let me go a little bit different place, but kind of farther down that same road. your document product in the U.S. has become very, very popular, and actually kind of defined the space. And you know, there are some earlier document, what I call document storage products, but your ProFX document was probably the first document management system built specifically for the profession. Somebody's going to argue with me on that, but I'm comfortable with that. So that's really kind of defined it in the profession. In the U.S., the forward-thinking firms are starting to look towards knowledge management. You guys are out spending a lot of money. You come from Amsterdam with buckets full of money for Kevin to build things.
Actually,
how does that work?
We take that money from some of the operating units, and Kevin knows well. But we paid that. You know, one of the things that I think is interesting, kind of in the spirit of the global perspective we started the conversation with, is that as you look at what's happened now within the product line that Kevin has been managing, is that, you know, in the beginning it was very specific, right? Tax is still local jurisdiction, right? So every tax product that we have, sure, in some ways has a local dimension to it. But as we have transformed from just tax into a lot of accounting applications with things like engagement on the audit side and document management and now moving into knowledge management, one of the exciting things from a Wolters Kluwer perspective is that we are now being able to take those applications, modify them a bit, but then launch them into a new geography. So if you look at what Kevin's and his team have successfully done, taking the majority of the ProSystem FX suite from the US into Canada, and now we've just launched in Australia. We have a couple of installations of document actually in Spain and a few European countries. So we view that some of these next generation applications, they're exciting both in terms of what they can do for the profession, but also very exciting for Wolters Kluwer because we are able to really think about them as a set of global products. And in fact, Kevin's talk tomorrow will be largely around what we're going to be doing with knowledge management, which is kind of the next step.
Sure. So you're building a lot of these products and spending a lot of money, big investments in this thing. We talked about the globalization, we talked about the baby boom things. Is that really the Wolters Kluwer solution to the profession? Is on the technology side, that's what's going to carry us through this dearth of people?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start first and then
go ahead.
I think absolutely. I mean, we have been walking down this path, not just in tax and accounting, but in our other market segments of integrating content with software to create a solution product. The more and more we can automate that and make it intuitive, the easier it is for either the profession to take some of the functions and put them into lower level skilled people, and at the same time just make it easier to get the work done. And we've seen that over and over again in other segments that we're working towards, where the automation of workflow and the integration of content with technology really does advance, you know, people's skill level and advances the productivity of the firm.
You know, I'll put it a little bit different. Part of our strategy, and I think it is a global strategy because I think the reach of firms, even U.S. firms, are now going to have to go beyond, whether it's affiliations that they have overseas, Australia, or, you know, we've had firms that have had employees that have moved away. So the ability to have that ASP environment to where they have access to the firm's information now allows you to keep a key employee, even though they've had a lifestyle change and have had to move away.
Sure.
But so think about a couple of things. So if you go through with the baby boomers, our strategy is to build a platform of products, workflow solutions, content that puts the firm in a position for them to create that strategic advantage better than other people that they compete with to win the talent war. So that means getting more productivity out of the existing staff. That means making themselves more attractive to new recruits coming in because they've got the best technology. They've got the facilities where if those employees want to be able to work at home, they can work at home.
Right.
They've got access to everything the firm has. So we think that that is something that's going to separate our customers from the other people that they compete with in that space in trying to win that talent war.
It's interesting to me as you talk about globalization. Even 5 years ago, globalization of the profession sounded like key punch in India. And now it's changed very, very quickly for all firms all the way around. So we're talking about services that may be global. Mm-hmm. We're talking about client base that may be global. We might talk about employees that are global. That's geographical dispersion and geographical specialization. Talk to me a little bit about specialization within the profession. How do you see this as the firms continue to the vast majority of firms are very, very small, and how do those small firms compete with the very large firms? How does that work? What do you see happening?
I'm on a panel tomorrow afternoon, and one of the panel members has had, his firm has had something like 30-some-odd% growth. And what he talks about, the reason that they've had that growth is they specialize in niche services, and which, same thing as specialization. Mm-hmm. And, whether it's valuation, forensics, or whatever that might be, they go after that space, and they try and make sure that they hire a champion, that is their specialty. They live and breathe that, and they put the resources of everything else within the firm so then they can expand and be able to attract that. From our standpoint, this becomes, a way that you look at providing the information to be able to support the firm, to be able to do that. So our content play, we're doing a lot more in the international arena because you've got a lot of firms now that part of their specialization is international tax or international accounting standards. So make sure we do things like worldwide tax treaties. We've got a new version of the International Tax Planning Manual that's coming out. So we're starting to dive deep in those content specialty areas to be able to to support that as well.
Right. We should probably put a plug in here for the specializations that the ASCPA offers, including obviously the CATP credential, which I just happened to chair that subcommittee, and so we're working really hard on that. And you got a bunch of people, CCH people who actually carry that credential. I'm sure you have others who are ABVs and PFSs, and council is ready to look at the new forensics one coming.
Yeah.
Do you see the profession being in 30 years where medicine is, that we're going to get that specialized? Or?
Well, if I look across the portfolio, maybe I can jump in. If you look across the portfolio of doctors, lawyers, they have much more specialization than historically accountants have had. And I do think the world is moving down that path where you'll see more of the firms that actually become boutique firms, as Kevin mentioned, where they have some sort of major activity that they specialize in as a way to both differentiate themselves,
sure,
as well as the fact that with specialization, the knowledge base that you have to technically be able to handle that specialization obviously increases. You do see that. You clearly see that starting to happen a little bit in Europe now as well.
Right.
Where that sort of general practitioner is kind of moving clearly in the realm of specialization.
Earlier this week, I was in Montreal at the ITA conference.
Right.
And we were there with some of the CIOs and last day talking about the PFX Next Generation. And we talked about the signing for the acquisition for Teammate. And one of the CIOs said, the fact that you guys are doing this, that footprint makes a ton of sense for us because they've got a specialty in their practice that has moved down from the big four to that next tier of their doing re-engineering of internal audit processes in the firm. And he says, we're looking for tools in that area. And so we think that we can definitely open that up way beyond what PwC was able to because of all our SOX restrictions.
Sure.
But, you know, so we talk about the fact that he says, okay, so now we've got 300 banks that we want to be able to, you know, talk about and re-engineering. And that's a very specialized area for that firm. So we're looking to be able to do that, and that's going to give us even more of that global footprint. But the thing that he was also excited about is all of the places that we had engagement. Because, you know, for them, that's the tool of choice. Yeah. And he says, geez, you know, if we can get resources with our affiliates that are using the same tools that we're using here, that just makes it so much easier for us to be able to share information back and forth.
Let me kind of close with what I think is a simple question, or maybe it's a complex answer, complex question that'll require a simpler answer. You're moving into what I'm describing as scan and populate software, as that new genre has come out just in the last couple of years, and with data going directly into tax returns. Other people are moving out, lots of different things happening there. I believe that that's at best transitional technology, but it's going to be a while. How soon will we see what I'm going to call zero entry tax preparation generally? Is this a 3, 5, 8, 10 year thing? What do you think, Kevin?
I think it depends on the segment of the market. For our small firm services group that launched their scan and fill product, and you have a much more defined set of forms that you're going to be able to take, identify, and bring in. Mm-hmm. And so we've got that product integrated with both the TaxWise product line as well as the ATX product line.
Right.
For the tax and accounting U.S. business, the PFX customer base, I think it's going to take a bit longer because of the number of forms that they have, the things that are handwritten, the things that just are in so many different formats of 1099s, to be able to standardize that. Now, we are making some pretty good moves along those lines. We're working with New Engine to be able to get more scalability, more recognizability of the forms. And so, you know, we constantly are going to get there, but to tell you that there is a breakthrough, I think it's going to be several iterations. I see, you know, progress to the point where it's zero data entry. I think you can almost run a parallel to less paper office versus a paperless office. I think they're going to move in that same parallel.
Well, I think we were talking about paperless audits or paperless offices certainly 20 plus years ago, Kevin. When
I don't know if it'll take that long.
And it's certainly going to take that long. Nancy, Kevin, thank you very, very much for spending time with me today. I appreciate it a lot. Good luck on your conference. I'm looking forward, Nancy, to listening to what you've got to say tomorrow morning. And I understand as soon as you're done, you're back on an airplane to go back to Amsterdam. That certainly demonstrates a very, very strong sense of commitment to the profession here, and I applaud you for that. Thank you. Concludes this segment of Intersection Live. Please join us again as we interview other thought leaders from the intersection of public accounting and technology. Thank you, and goodbye.